There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11. 11 listeners.
This is Jimmy Geek. This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of 50 Days at Dragon Con, the podcast that's still stuck in Atlanta traffic. And joining me, as always, is Lee. Lee, how you doing?
I'm great. I am in Atlanta traffic. Very early in the morning one day, but yes, I'm in Atlanta traffic.
Your commitment to this podcast is astounding.
I do my best.
Or you should be committed for doing this podcast.
I think we both should be committed for doing it, but we have to talk about it all the time. People that volunteer for Dragon Con and all of that, and so we do want to say John Cusack just was our latest. Actually, written on there if we would read carefully. He's only going to be there Saturday and Sunday, folks. We have no idea about photo ops. We have no idea what he's going to be talking about, when he's going to be talking, anything. So watch. Go on and download your app. There's nothing on it yet, but there will be in about 4 weeks. Less?
We are now at, let's see, we're at day 16, 17, so of
us 50 doing
days,
it.
So that's 33 days, so a month and 3 days.
Or
2 days,
about,
depending upon.
Yeah, in about 2.5 to 3 weeks, there will be stuff on the app. And then there you go. So
and actually,
looking at it then.
Actually, I think we can introduce our guest first real quick, which is mm-hmm. I don't know, you want to do it or you want me to do it? I'll do it. Okay.
So
joining us today is Rob. Rob is actually a friend of mine, as well as Lee's. Well, frenemy of Lee's. He's done a bazillion tracks, or our panel, rather, panel discussions. What am I trying to say here? He's done a bazillion panels. We're going to talk about paneling. That's basically what we're going to talk
about.
And we brought in Rob. Let's just start off with this. Approximately how many panels are you going to be on this Dragon Con?
I don't know yet. The only person I have a definite sort of idea from is on this podcast. Guessing, not having gotten anything official, 10.
Okay.
Okay.
And on average, how many do you do a year?
Well, the last 2 years I've cut down because a wise person who's also on this podcast told me I should, but I was doing 16 to 18 for like 10 years.
And that was because you, at the end of every con, were like, I am never coming back. This is too much. And I was like, you don't have to make yourself this crazy.
Yeah.
So I was watching out for your health because you were exhausted by the end of every
con. Oh, I know. Yes.
You were just poor, pitiful you. So, no, but you are a great panelist. You're going to be on 3 for me at this point. I've got you on the both of the Need Coffees, of course. We open the show and end the show with a Need Coffee. And then you're also going to be in my Person of Interest panel. So looking forward to that as well. So that'll be a lot of fun. And then you usually do a lot on Brit. You do with Brit Pop and with Doctor Who. Boy, I wonder what you guys are going to talk about Doctor Who this year.
Well, I'm doing 2 Doctor Who panels this year. Just 2.
Okay.
I'm doing a Red Dwarf panel. I'm doing a Prisoner panel, which I'm very excited about because 50 years of the Prisoner. And then I'm excited to be doing a Beatles panel.
Beatles panel. Oh, very cool.
That's Prisoner, not Prison Break, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's Prisoner. And I'd heard a rumor that the Prisoner, they were thinking about maybe a Hulu series on it or some series.
Oh, interesting.
But it's a rumor. So, who knows? Rumors come around all the time. But no. So, but Rob, I mean, you're a really great panelist. And part of that is you are professionally a actual radio disc jockey. But a part of it is just you know a lot. So, well, you are a professional. I listen to it. Because I try to find out music that I'm not going to. Oh, but So how did you become like a panelist at DragonCon? I mean, what was your first one and what came up?
So it's part of this is kind of educational. I, you know, went to college to do broadcasting and broadcast journalism. And I went to a conference for school in Atlanta, and that's how I got introduced to the con. And then I went to 1995. I was talking to somebody. I said, oh, that was really cool. I really liked your panel. And then starting in 1996, I started doing panels. And my idea for doing panels was that, you know, I've done a ton of like talking at people and, you know, radio stuff. But being in front of an actual audience, I hadn't done a lot of. And it was like, you know, I really need to learn sort of this. If I'm going to do this as a craft, I need to learn how to like, if you're going to do TV, I know I have a face for radio, but if I'm going to do TV or if I'm going to talk to people in a room, I should be comfortable around. So I'm like, you know, this seems like it'll be fun and really relaxed. So that's how I started doing panels. And then Robert Ray ran the track at the time. He ran Brit Track. So I did a couple Doctor Who panels and then just sort of eased into it from there. And then it kind of really kickstarted with Need Coffee, kind of, because it was the first time I started really doing panels with other people on a, that where I'd see the same people all the time. And there was like a, I know this is hard to believe, like a comfort level at talking to people, you know? So.
Well, and I think that's one of the most important things, because I've moderated panels. You've moderated panels. I want to actually talk about that in a second. But one of the things too, about being a panelist is you've got to be comfortable up there, and it's not always easy.
That's terrifying.
It's terrifying. And you can be in a room, and the great thing about DragonCon is you could be in a room of 100, or you could maybe be in a room of about 2,000, and you got to be comfortable up there. So what are some of those things that have helped you figure out how to get comfortable? And is it just, you know, the way you get to, how do you get to Symphony Hall, practice, or what?
Well, I have to say that, you know, one of the things that's pretty consistent with dealing with people that run the panel tracks, that run the panels, I have to say, like dealing with, you know, like Caro and the Brit Track people and Lee, the people I deal with, they're very sort of welcoming and good at sort of making you feel comfortable doing this. You know, it's like, if you screw up this panel, we're going to put a gun to your head. They don't make you feel like that. No, I mean, that is, you go to some conventions and it's sort of like, so it's sort of like it's presented well, it's clean and it's nice, but it's not so polished that it's almost like non-sincere. And for me, I was really lucky in that doing panels was just kind of an offshoot of like, okay, I need to meet people. I need to meet people that like things I like to do. And I also like talking to people about the stuff I like. And I never really met a lot of people I could talk to about the things that interested me, because I couldn't find a lot of people that liked, you know, Romero movies and Doctor Who and, you know, weird music and, you know, The X-Files, all this, there's like a wide range of stuff. So that's part of it. And I just started doing panels kind of as, oh, there's somebody that wants to talk about, you know, the same thing I'm interested in. Sure, that's cool. And then later it's just kind of like moved into, it was almost really sort of natural for me. I know that sounds really bad, but it is actually sort of really easy for me. Just, you know, you go into a room, you talk to people, you be nice, and you talk about whatever the subject is. And you get on with it, you know. That's kind of how it is.
For those that don't know, because there might be some people here listening that don't understand the difference, can you explain, at least in your mind, what the difference is between moderating and panelist?
Oh, sure.
Being a panelist.
Yes, sure. So moderating, right, is, let's say Lee, who runs the X Track, has let's just make Lee excited. Let's say Lee has David Duchovny for a guest panel. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so when I say Lee is moderating that panel, that means whoever the guest is, or multiple guests, they come in, you're the person that sort of like runs their panel. So you're the person in charge of the questions and the answers. So your job is to, when you moderate the panel, think of the context of the guest and where they are, what type of forum it is, and then think of the questions that are interesting that they would not have been asked a million times, then questions they wouldn't have been asked a million times at another convention, And then you also have to think about what would put this guest in a light that nobody's sort of seen them before. Like, you want to make the guest look interesting and good, but you also want them to like share something they haven't shared before. You want to sort of learn something about them. So that's the moderating part of it. The panelist part, Lee, this is funny. I was going to use the make the Badman as an example of proper paneling, but that's sort of wrong.
That is really not. Yeah, that is just a free for all, but it's a great free for all. So,
For example, with BritTrack, if I'm doing a panel on Red Dwarf, let's say, right, they'll have maybe 4 to 6 people. We'll all be at a table. There's one person that's designated as the panel moderator, meaning their job is to sort of keep the panel going. If it gets off subject, rein it in, but also sort of keep everyone at the panel involved. So if I'm on a panel with 5 people, make sure all 5 of them get to say what they want to say, make sure nobody gets in fights, make sure everybody's respectful. But at the same time, you're there to sort of get everyone else to be a joiner and be a part of the discussion, because not everybody has the same level of social engagement that you are. So you have to be mindful of that. You know, some people, when you're on a panel, you have to say, oh, what do you think about this, Joe, for example, and they answer. And some people will just do it. So you kind of have to be aware. It's harder to do just a regular panel because you've got a lot of moving parts, and you have to be sincerely engaging your audience. You also have to keep the panelists that are involved. You also sort of have to make sure nobody's doing anything stupid and being knuckleheads. And you also have to, because you do get at these conventions, you do get very heated debates, and you have to make sure that, you know, everybody's respectful and it's cool, you know? So that's kind of the basics of moderating. You know, panels are sort of like fan panels where they're just average Joe, ordinary people or writers or non superstar famous people, and guest panels, like when David Duchovny comes to X-Track with Lee, that is like, not that David Duchovny is actually coming. Let me say that.
But that, from your mouth to God's ears, we could love it if he would come. Yes.
So I hope I explained that okay.
No, I think you did. And I think the other thing is, as a moderator, whether you're a moderator or a panelist, you're going to have disagreements with people. It is perfectly normal. We are fandom. We are not one voice. We're a lot of different voices. And, you know, we have and we're called fans because we are, you know, we're passionate about it. We are fans of this. And yeah, we can get in pretty big disagreements, but the issue there is that you still can keep it moving forward. I've had, you know, really uncomfortable conversations, and it's okay. Whether I've been on the panel or just been watching it as the track director, and, you know, it happens. But I also think said, whether you're a panelist or a moderator, is to also make sure that everybody is getting a voice. I try not to have, other than Need Coffee, which is the one that just kind of breaks all the rules. But for most of my panels, I like a 3 to, you know, anywhere from 2 to 4. Sometimes I'll do 5, but I really like 2 to 4 because I think that keeps us, it's small enough that everybody is there and everybody's kind of popping in. And it's also good for pulling in audience Q&A. I mean, for me, as somebody who's putting these things together, I love doing audience Q&A. I love that's the thing at Dragon Con that you don't get to see in a lot of other bigger cons or even smaller cons sometimes, is that audience interaction. You know, we love it in a panel when people are asking questions. And I've said this before, part of the reason now I have a handheld mic that we pass around in our room is people are like, I couldn't hear all the questions. I want to hear them from the audience. And as a panelist, especially at Dragon Con, when you're in one of our smaller fandom rooms, one of the things we're often doing is really just kind of like, some of the panelists will say, you know, well, I thought this, you know, the X-Files, I'm going to give that example. During the, you know, season 10, I thought these episodes were great and I could have missed the first and the last one and not been upset. And then, you know, that starts a discussion on what did we like about this and what didn't we, and pulling in that audience and the panelist, you know, because sometimes they are really big experts. Like, I'm in paranormal, we'll have the people that are actually Sasquatch hunters talking about it. So that'll be great. And the questions are more, what about, you know, how do you do X, Y, or Z? But in a lot of our fandom discussions, it's more like, all right, this is what I thought, and this is why I thought it. What'd you think? And I love that at Dragon Con. I love that kind of interaction because people, that's, as people have said to me before, that's how you make friends.
So let me ask both Lee and Rob this particular question, which is, do you think you have to be the absolute expert in a particular topic in order to be on the panel? I'll let Rob answer first, I guess. Rob?
I don't think so. I think for me, part of the excitement of doing a panel, well, there's a couple things. One is the sheer terror and being nervous of, like, I'm on a panel with a group of other people. I hope I pull my weight. Mm-hmm. There is some of that, even, you know, I've been doing this for years and I'm still like, what if I suck?
Every time.
Like, yeah. I mean, and Lee could tell you, I'll do panels for Lee. And when I'm done, I'm like, oh my God, that was terrible. I didn't talk about it. She's like, what are you talking about? You formed complete sentences. You're fine.
That's a good one.
You know, nobody slept. You're great. You know, and there's, but you know, and you have to sort of like dissolve yourself or dissuade yourself from like paying attention too much to the people. Because if somebody gets up and leaves, it's not because you're terrible.
No.
Because I would like, oh my God, there's five people leaving, you know, and it's like, no, 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 you're fine. You know? But I think that if you're always going to be on a panel with somebody else who knows way more than you. Like, I'm on a prisoner panel this year, for example, with Dean Motter, who did the Prisoner graphic novel, right?
Oh, wow.
And who used to do, you know, album covers for Columbia Records in Canada, and he's done a ton of stuff. And then I'm on it with Anthony Taylor, who is helping run the Bram Stoker estate, and he's written for Starlog. And then, you know, Mike Faber, who runs a huge podcast network. And then there's me. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? I'm on with all the, you know, so the best I can do is prep. You know, if I'm doing something like, since, for example, I know I'm doing a panel for Lee on Person of Interest, I'll try to watch some of that or sort of get re-familiar with what, so that I'm kind of up to speed on it. And it's the best I can do. But I think that you cannot ever go in with this sort of ego that I'm the best, I know everything, because one, the audience will see that right away and they will put you in your place. And two, yes, you just come off as a jerk. And the one thing that you want to do at a panel, when you do a panel at Dragon Con, is you want to come off as being affable and you want to come off as being like one of the people in the audience. Like when I do a panel, I want it to seem like, oh, this is a guy that just got out of the chair in the audience and just got up to the table and started a panel. I want it to seem like it's that natural. I don't want it to be, I'm here with the guest, or I'm here on the panel and you're just a guy in a chair in the audience. I don't want it to have that sort of mentality. It has to feel very organic and it has to feel sort of very natural. And I think part of that is, you know, you have to just resolve yourself that you don't know everything about the topic and you don't always have to answer every question in the topic. And it's okay if you say, wow, I never thought about that, or wow, I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's, Rob, I'm like nodding my head with everything you're saying. I don't think you ever have to be the expert on anything. First of all, I am a huge Twin Peaks fan. I'm a huge X-Files fan. I am the first to always admit, and you know, a lot of people are like, how can you not know this? I don't remember titles of episodes. I can explain the episode. I can even usually tell you, you know, the guest stars that were in it. But unless it's like an iconic episode, I am not going to remember the name. I'm just not. I'm sorry. My brain doesn't take that in. And so, but that's okay. You don't have to be that kind of an expert. I will say there is a little bit of a difference between being a panelist and a moderator on some things,
yeah,
depending on what I'm moderating. As a panelist, no, I'm a part of a group and my job is to just make sure that I was added on there for a reason. So my point of view is on there for a reason. So that's okay. When I'm a moderator, though, one of the biggest things, whether I know a lot about it or not, is I do, as Rob said, not only as a panelist, you want to prep, but as a moderator, I really want to prep. I mean, if I'm doing a fandom panel, or I'm sorry, I'm doing a guest panel, I have notes upon notes upon notes about where we could go. I've had mm-hmm. great ones, and I've had ones that kind of went a little shaky, and then we were able to get back to it. Because you know where you can go on these things. And so that's what you got to be ready for. And it can be weird.
And I think Lee's actually seen this, but I have a notebook I take to my panels with mm-hmm. all with, and I like Carol with Brit Trek wants talking points. And I think that's a good idea, but I make notes of things I want to talk about. And then if the guest or the people on the panel talk about something, I might make a note. And I know it seems like this really archaic, you know, Stone Age thing to carry a notebook with you, but it really sort of helps you keep track of it, of a lot of stuff. just little keywords like, oh, if they mention their, you know, they're into knitting, then you've got something to put away in case there's a slow moment. But I think that, you know, I think you have to, like, even if I'm moderating, I still have to be respectful, knowing that I might moderate the panel, but I might not be the most knowledgeable person there. But I have to sort of like, okay, I know that, put that into my planning and go. Because honestly, if you're on a panel with a guy who's like written 10 books on something, you let them go. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's, you know, if I'm doing a panel on person of interest and you've got, you know, a script editor or a script writer for me, you let them go. Even if you're moderating, you know, you let them go because they've got the most input. At the end of the day, at least from my mindset, is it's about making first it's about making the panel as best as it could be. On a wider scale, you want it to be the track director looking as good as they can do because they put you there. And then you also want the con to be as good as it possibly can, because when you're doing a panel, it's like you're working a real job. You know, your job is to show up, clock in, do the best job you can, and make everyone happy. So that's kind of how I approach it, no matter what. And I hope that didn't go off topic.
No, it didn't. I think that's perfect. And I do have to ask though, Rob, and I have one, and I know I have a big one I don't talk about a lot, but have you ever been on a panel where all of a sudden it just totally veered left and you're like, I have no idea how we got here?
Yes.
How do you, and when you go down that veer, because you've probably gone down there too, how do you bring it back? And you might have an example. I can give a couple of examples. So, yeah.
Well, you know, what's tricky is I've had panels with guests that have been at a particular convention every year. And if you have them every year, it's hard to think of new questions all the time, especially when they're not doing a whole ton of like work. You know, mm-hmm. That gets really hard. And if it's an actor that's on a show that's like not the star, then it gets tricky because you want to get them to talk about their career and you're not ready. The big thing for me is like, okay, we're going to put this up for questions. And then there's like, oh, there's only three questions. And then you've got this like gap of, well, we don't have anybody, you know, then that's for me, that's the worst part is if I'm doing a panel with John and I ask the four questions that I prepped or whatever, the four big questions, and I throw out to the audience and there's two people and then there's a pause and people lining up. I got to be ready to pick up the slack on that. And that for me is the hardest thing, because that's where the whole thing can collapse, at least for me. So yeah. I sort of try to have like sub questions ready. Like, you know, I did a panel at a different convention once with a guest that I'd done about 10, 12 times with panels. And I've exhausted every question I could ask. And there was a slow part of the panel. And I said, hey, let's look at your Wikipedia page. I will read it back and you tell me what's wrong with it.
That's a good one. I like that.
And that kind of saved my butt. But I think that, you know, as much as you prepare and you have questions, like you have question A, B, C, and D, right? Mm-hmm. You have to sort of have another set of interesting questions, sort of like, oh, okay. Like, I'm going to use Sylvester McCoy as an example, because I've done Sylvester at conventions a bunch of times. You talk to him about Doctor
Who. He's such a sweetie. Oh God, he's such a sweetie. Yes.
You talk to him about Doctor Who. You've talked to him about The Hobbit, right? You've talked to him about, but then, you know, so there's like, okay, my fallback will be doing comedy in the 70s, you know, and, you know, sort of, and then the other fallback is tell me about your theater work or whatever, if it gets slow. But, you know, Sylvester's interesting because all of my weird sort of convention moments, my weirdest ones have been with him. And I love him. I love him to death. Like, I did a panel with him where he decided someone asked to play the spoons and he started playing the spoons on my head, which is fine, you know. But then I did a panel with him where he's like, okay, I didn't know. He just got up and left and went into the audience to answer questions, which is one of the cool things he does. But then, like, how do you communicate with a guest who's walking around the room with the microphone? How do you, you know, and he's great because he sort of knows how to feed a room and make it work. Right.
He does. Right. Oh, yeah. And we have so many guests like that. I mean, we really he's not coming this year. Eddie McClintock is notorious for that, is just getting out there and starting talking to people, which is both wonderful and terrible, because then there are people like, well, I can't see him. And you're like, okay, yeah. If you want me to rein in Eddie, there's
you just sort of have to know a little bit about the person, too, before you do, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I can honestly tell you the one time I moderated a John Barrowman panel, I had no idea what I was in for. Mm-mm. So I just sort of said, okay, I'm going to prep as best I can, but I realize that my job is just to sort of make sure he sits in the chair, you know, and just let him go. So you sort of have to know when to step aside, but at the same time, you kind of have to be ready. And if people ask a question that may have been asked two or three times, you don't want to say, oh, that question's already been asked, you know.
Right.
But also if somebody's – the other hard thing is someone's like, well, I have six questions. Like, well, we're running short on time. Pick two. You know, you kind of have to be there. The takeaway – you also have to be there to make sure the guest is comfortable, meaning make sure that they don't have to answer questions. You know, they don't have to be the bad guy and say, I'm sorry, I only have time for two. You know, that's your job. Well, right.
And that is actually – I know a lot of people don't – and I've had people tell me, I don't understand why you do this, but I do it. And it's usually gone well. 99% that I can think of where it hasn't gone well, but is that one of the things we are asked as directors or whoever is leading a Q&A guest line, and that's why we say, "What's your question? Keep it short. You know, go forward." We're not trying to be mean about it, but it is so that everybody gets their question. You know, it comes up on that big board. You know, I have a 12-part question. No, no, you don't.
Yeah. The other thing you do too, Lee, as far as those lines, and I appreciate this as well. You've helped me so much with them.
Yeah.
Which is you have the person ask or tell the person that's holding the microphone, your assistant or whoever, what their question is and explain why you do that.
Well, we do it, first of all, because number one is, yes, we do have people, unfortunately, who will try to ask inappropriate questions. It happens, again, 1 to 5% of the time, but we can't do that. You're not going to be able to ask somebody for a hug. You're not going to ask them to drink from your flask. You're not, you know, there are a lot of things that are you just don't do. The other time is because you have people who are very nervous. These are the people they adore in many, many ways. They are passionate about. And it helps them think, okay, how am I going to ask this? Mm-hmm. And you're like, it's okay. Calm. You're good. It's all right. And then they can get it out in a way that doesn't, you know, they don't stammer and take a minute to try to breathe through it. The other thing we always ask, and we're all so grateful, and I always say it at the start of panels, at the end of panels, which is thank you for being here because none of, you know, this is, you know, this, you've got a full room. This is why we all love this show. So you don't have to say it too, you know, but of course people are going to say it and that's okay. But there are times when, you know, we do it for those two reasons for the most part. Also, because I have a lot of people who are just like, I don't know how to say this. And are they going to be upset? And I'm like, they're not going to be upset usually. I mean, 99% of the time, again, they're not going to be upset, but it just helps you get your question. You know, sometimes you have them. I have had people who come in written down. I would also want to say one thing, because one gentleman told me of this last year, and he has, I am somebody who has a stutter when I was younger, and I've really
worked
through it. Yeah, and a lot of us that public speak actually find out that we did that. But one of the things is he actually, it's hard for him to get questions out. And one of my things is you got to kind of speed it up. And because there are so many other people to ask. But if you have something like that, that you say, you know, it's going to take me a second to get this out, just tell me. Just tell the track director, it's going to take me a minute or two to get this out. Okay, that's just, you know, that's you. That's your, I hate the term disability for it, but that's something you have. I will help you with that, and that's fine. So let us know, because otherwise I kind of felt like a jerk trying to get him to hurry up, and he can't. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, that's just, that's how he speaks, so.
Yeah, so so I had a particular, a couple of times, incidents where the person insisted that they wanted to ask the person, the guest to marry them. And I, you know,
nope.
That's not going to be appropriate. It was on a panel for you. I was.
No, I can't remember which one it was. Was it Grimm?
Grimm, thank you.
Yeah.
It was a one word title. it was Grimm, and I was like, you can't do that, dude. It'll be cool. No, you can't do it. And the other, it might've been in the same panel is that this person didn't have their question fully formed in their head.
Right.
And I was able to sit there with them while the other questions were being asked and, you know, work out how to best phrase that question so that they didn't, you know, come off. And so I think from a person who's asking questions, I think that's a great thing. And it also goes to when so it's a difference between being in a big room, if you will, big room panel versus a small room panel, but people are going to be a lot more forgiving because
it's
you're all, it's more of a chat. And I know that all of us like to try to, if we're moderating or paneling, we like to try to make it more, as you've said before, conversational. So mm-hmm. inside of the small room, but inside of the big room, that's not possible.
And Rob, you brought up something too, like, oh my God, that's the fourth time that's been asked. The great thing about Dragon Con is a lot of our guests do understand you may not have been able to come on Friday when they have answered this. And some of them will even say that, you know, we talked about this a little bit on Friday, but I also thought about this. And that'll be fine, guys. Don't be upset if your question's been asked on another panel day. Do listen, though, if your question's been asked before, because I cannot tell you how many people who I've gotten in line and they're the next question. And they were like, they asked my question. I'm like, all right, do you have another one? And they're like, not yet. I'm like, just wait. Let me take the next person. And you wait.
Yeah.
Come up with another one, because I bet you got one. And that's really good. The other thing is, what was the one? Oh, I had one person who once said, I don't want to tell you what my question is. And I'm like, then guess what? I'm so sorry. And they're like, you can't do that. And I'm like, nope, yeah, I can. And my senior director is, if you wish to go talk to them. And they really got mad about it. But this was a person who I knew some people had been asking inappropriate things of in prior panels. And we had been asked to make sure that did not happen again. And so I was really, really working it.
Well, and all that, sure didn't happen. All that being said, once they have the microphone in front of them, it's almost, you know, you can't stop them from saying what they were going to say anyway.
Oh, there are.
Lee
does work it. And I really do try not to make it be that I look like a jerk. I have been accused of that twice in my 20 years of doing this as a volunteer. So yeah, I don't like to do that. And it does upset me if somebody has said, this is my question, and then they give me a different question, but it has happened. And you know, it happens, and you go with it and you go with the flow. I had one person who do that. And then I looked at her and after she asked the question, I said, you didn't follow the rules. And she looked at me and she actually did look embarrassed. And she was like, yeah, I did. I'm sorry. And then she scuttled away before I could like give her more of my mommy look. But so Rob, it's now the time where John gets to embarrass me because he enjoys this ever so much.
I would know nothing about this part. I would never embarrass you.
No, you wouldn't. You are a gentleman and a scholar. John is a jock sometimes, but I also love both of you. I love both of you so much, and you well know that. And I wish your wife were coming to Dragon Con so I could just chat with her and have fun, because your wife is a hoot.
Okay. Real quick, just before we get into that, I did have one more question I wanted to get to.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Which was real quick. What are your top two or three tips for etiquette when you're in the audience of a panel and then when you're on the panel? Rob?
Okay, etiquette. Well, real quick, can I add something to the last thing real quick?
Sure.
One thing I do is when I get to a panel room or whatever, I find out who the mic person is. I introduce myself. I say hi and I thank them, you know, because they're volunteering. And then I sort of say, this is kind of what I'm going to talk about and where I'm going, so that they sort of know, if it's somebody I've never worked with, that you at least know who that person is. And you want to make them feel like they're just as important to the panel as you. So that's finishing that. Panel etiquette. Lee, am I starting with this?
Yeah,
you are.
Okay. To be fair with the Need Coffee people, it's almost like it's symbiosis. I can't explain it. You know, it's very sort of like, it may seem like it's freeform chaos, but literally it is just some of my favorite moments of every year. Having said that, some of the Brit Trek panels I do, I've known these people for so long that it's almost second nature. So you'll find if you do panels with people, you know, that it's much more comfortable. Now this year I'm doing two different tracks I've never done with before.
Ooh.
So, yeah. So I'm doing I'm doing more with classic sci-fi, American classic sci-fi. I think.
You and Joe are going to be terrifying, but that'll be great.
Well, I think I'm doing a Streets of Fire panel with Widget for that.
Oh, okay.
And cool. And then I'm doing some American sci-fi panels. Some of like CW kind of superhero stuff. I think I'm doing an Iron Fist panel, but I don't know. Stuff like that. So. In those instances, the etiquette is I'm kind of the new guy. So I'll come in, you know, before, always try to, first etiquette is show up to your panel as early as you can, not too early, but be there. And then, you know, if you're on a panel with other people, say hi to the other panelists, sort of say, hey, I'm Rob, nice to meet you, blah, blah, blah. If you're familiar with them, say, oh, I really, like, if I met Sean, I said, man, I really like Unique Geek, it's really awesome. But if I've never listened to it, you know, obviously don't say that. Because you don't want to, no, because you don't want to sound disingenuous. You could say, oh, I didn't know you had this podcast, I'm going to check it out, right? But just sort of like make sure that you do as much as you can to sort of build some sort of basic, hey, I know sort of who you are at the beginning of the panel. Then when somebody speaks, you know, don't cut them off. You don't, you know, it's like having a dinner conversation with somebody. You don't tell them they're stupid and yell at them. You don't say, well, you don't know what you're talking about. I mean, you just sort of like, no, I mean, there's are ways to disagree without belittling. That's the
point. Yeah.
You know,
oh,
like,
yeah.
And most panels, like if you're saying something, like if John's moderating a panel and you're talking, Lee, and I want to say something, I'll just like hold up my hand, you know, and then you speak. You wait, you know, you wait your turn and you speak. You don't try to shout the other guy down. This isn't, you know, this is not, you know, you don't want to be there to be a bully, but you know, it's kind of therapy in a way because you talk when you're told to talk, but at the same time, you want to allow everyone to say as much as they want to say within the time parameters. And you also, etiquette wise, want to be respectful of your audience, meaning you want to be able to let the audience interact with you as much as they want to interact with you. So you have to, so you're sort of like on a panel, you have to use etiquette towards your fellow panelists and the audience, which is, I think a lot of other cons have not figured out, you know, your job, you know, when you do a panel is to sort of be respectful with as many other people as you can. You learn stuff. I love learning things. You love saying, oh, I didn't know that, or I didn't think of that. That's also really great. But I think the other, you know, most important thing is just because you're in a convention doesn't change the setting. Treat it like it's, you know, like you're talking to a work colleague or like you're talking to, you know, an academic colleague or something, you know, this is not, you know, this is not like who's got the biggest shoes, you know, this is not who's got the coolest car. This is about sort of like presenting whatever the subject is within the coolest context that you can. So I think the big things are, you know, etiquette wise, and I consider, you know, knowing your subject is etiquette because you do, one, know what you're going to talk about. Two, you know, just be generally cool to the other panelists. Three, check your, and this is huge, check your ego at the door. Because if you have a huge ego, Dragon's Con is kind of not the place for you. And I know that sounds very weird, but you can be knowledgeable about a subject without having a huge ego. Because one, it just comes off as terrible. It just, you come off as like, it's magnified at Dragon Con. If you have a huge ego, everyone within 10 miles will know. So I think you have to sort of take your ego out of the equation when you do that. I think that's really important. And just be as respectful as possible. Those are the two big things.
And Rob, I want to add on one with that one with the big ego. First of all, let me explain something else about Dragon Con. If you come in thinking you've got the biggest knowledge of X or you've got the biggest pair of shoes or whatever, I promise you, in a very nice and sometimes amazingly polite way, you will feel like an idiot by the end of whatever you're doing. So the Dragon Con people are, they'll be very nice. And I think we are very, in a weird word, Southern in a way of, you know, we bless your heart that you are such an idiot. But you will, yeah, you're not going to be there that long. You're not going to make it through a lot. Bless your heart. We're so sorry. You're an idiot. But there's going to be a lot of that. And that's okay. I think the other thing I want to give you from a track director etiquette for panelists. If you need to go to the bathroom, tell me. I would rather start 5 minutes late than you be uncomfortable through a whole panel. Okay? I am dead serious, guys. I can make up 5 minutes. When it's a fandom panel, I can make up 5 minutes. You got to go pee.
I've had guests do that too.
I've had guests do that. And they're like, is there any way I can get to the bathroom? I'm like, yes, I have three staff that will run with you. Because you're kind of running a gauntlet too sometimes when you're a guest.
Yeah.
And yes, I'd rather do that and go up there and let me shill some more for charity than you be uncomfortable through a whole panel. I also, you know, and when you're a guest and you're like, I am just, I've got to go grab something to drink or something like that. I have not eaten all day or something like that. We will, I, you know, let us know. Be comfortable when you come in. Try to plan for that before you get there. But we also know Dragon Con gets crazy, and sometimes it will take you 30 minutes to get from the Hilton to the Hyatt. So we get it, and we'll try to help you out on that. We're not ogres. So if you're in a Phantom panel like that and you're a panelist, the one thing I would say as an audience member, John, because you asked about that, it is that kind of, you know, as you raise your hands, the moderator and the panelists usually are trying to figure out who's going first and second and third. If you really have something that you got to add right then, kind of, because sometimes if you don't say it right then, it doesn't make any sense. You can kind of say, I just got to add to that to say X and go say it and then be done, you know, and then you can go on to the next one. So with that, it's difficult for me. And John laughs at me a lot as I interrupt him, and I don't mean to on this podcast, but when you're a panelist, you're able to see each other and go, okay, no, now I can talk. When you're on this kind of a podcast, it's a little more difficult. We do not use video because it acts up. But I think there's that. So that's just it as an audience member. Just also, you know, and yes, you're going to have to leave and things like that. That's fine. I would say one thing. I am a pretty family friendly person. So if you bring kids in, first of all, I might be holding them, especially if they're old enough to be held. But if you have kids and you're like, I'd really like to listen to this panel, sit towards the back. You're probably still going to be able to hear. All of us have mics. And if, you know, you need to leave because somebody's getting a little rowdy, we understand that. But, you know, try to do that because kids will get bored sometimes in panels. But if you got some toys and you're putting them on the floor, I can find you a space in the back of the room that they'll have a good time in.
Excellent.
Yeah. And the other thing I sort of do, too, if it's and this is if it's a guest panel, when I get there and I introduce myself to the guest, if I'm moderating it, I say, you know, are you good? Do you need anything? But then I also say, what are you tired of talking about? So that I don't ask them the same thing. You know, and sometimes guests have done things they don't want brought up in conversation. And that's sort of a way to disarm them. So that's a sort of different type of etiquette with that.
Well, and my on that is I was like, all right, so what John and I do this before we even start this podcast, folks. So this isn't a big secret. But one of the things I always say is, what do you want me to bring up? What is something that you want to make sure you talk about before you leave this stage in an hour? And so, and I'll make sure if it doesn't come up as a question or something like that from the audience, I'll make sure at some point we get it in there.
All right, so now is a point in this podcast where I embarrass Lee. Well, maybe not. So in fairness,
no, you know it. You know I'm going to be embarrassed.
In fairness to Lee, I have 10 topics here listed today. Now hold on, and they're in a spreadsheet, and they're set to be randomly picked. So in there, Lee is Shield Agents, and there's also one other one that's specifically for you. So if you're lucky, I'm going to hit Control R right now. What's that?
SEC football?
Yes, SEC football. If you're lucky, you might get it on your chance to choose. But, of course, Rob has mentioned that he's listened to the podcast, so I assume he knows what we're about to do, which is that I'm going to give him a topic. Well, I'm going to give him a choice of three topics, and he's going to pick one, and then we're going to go back and forth between the two of you to figure out, you know, who knows the most on that particular topic. Or you get the idea. You've listened before. So here we go. Here's the big Control R. But this is going to Rob. Rob gets to pick. Shield agents. Your topics are Shield agents, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy characters, or fictional bars or pubs.
I think for Lee, I will do the first one because I think she'll talk about that the most.
Aren't you? See,
Lee, and I'm mean to Lee sometimes, so I have to.
Well, he teases me. Agents. All righty.
Okay, Rob, name a Shield agent.
Oh my God, I completely forgot them all already. Ward.
Okay, Lee.
Coulson.
Rob.
What's her name? Quake.
Lee.
May.
Damn.
Rob.
Fitz.
Oh, there you go. Lee.
Simmons.
Yeah, that was obvious. Can I just say the one who died, or that doesn't count?
If you say the one who died that didn't come back, because typically,
you got a couple of those. Yeah, you already said Ward.
I know. Well, yeah, no, I'm blanking. Oh my God, Maxwell Smart. No.
All right, I got to call time.
Yeah, call time because I blanked.
All right.
So, Fury.
So Lee gets, Lee gets two bonus points. All right. Lee, it's your turn to choose. All right. Hitting control R again. Okay. TV series that ended too soon. Maybe after 13 episodes. Hitchhiker's Guide, Hitchhiker's Guide characters or fictional bars and pubs?
I think I want to go with the ended too soon.
Okay. Series that ended too soon. Lee, start.
Firefly.
Rob.
The Charmings.
Lee.
Witches of Eastwick.
Correct title, please.
The Witches of Eastwick.
I believe that's incorrect. I'm going to look it up real quick. Rob, go.
Hello, Larry.
Hello, Larry.
It was a great spinoff of Different Strokes.
Lee. By the way, I think it was just Eastwick, but go on.
Oh, okay. Sorry. News Radio.
Rob.
After MASH.
I said ended too soon. Too soon.
Oh, that was a big fib. Okay. Ended too soon. Oh, Bionic Woman, the new one. It was just getting good.
Rob.
I will say Frequency.
Okay. Lee.
The Timeless?
Timeless has not been canceled.
Oh, I thought it had.
It was for all of like 2 days.
Oh, and then it came back. Okay.
I'm going to have to, I'm sorry. Your answer is incorrect. So Rob gets two bonus points there. Okay. All right. So Rob, you get the last pick here.
Okay. What are my choices?
Hold on. Hitting
control R.
cast of SNL or cast members of SNL, South Park characters or Masters of the Universe characters.
Oh, good Lord. Well, the podcast will never end if we pick Master of the Universe characters.
You only go to 10 maximum, so.
So let's just do SNL.
Okay.
Do you want names of
cast members? Members of SNL. Yes, Rob, go.
Tim Kazurinsky.
Lee.
Gilda Radner.
Rob.
Anna Gestemeyer.
Lee.
Chevy Chase.
Rob.
Anthony Michael Hall.
Lee.
That's true. Jim Belushi.
Rob.
Tim Meadows.
Lee.
John Belushi.
Rob.
Bill Murray.
Lee.
Dan Hartman.
Lee, Rob.
I think she meant Dan Aykroyd, but I will say Phil Hartman.
Yeah, I was pausing for a second there.
It was Phil Hartman, not Dan Hartman. So I did do that wrong.
I'm going to have to call a buzzer
on that.
Yeah, Rob.
Dan Hartman wrote the I Can Dream About You song.
That's what I was there going, wait, was there a Dan Hartman?
Yes.
Yeah, there was. And I was like, I'm saying it wrong. I knew I was saying it wrong when I said it. Ah, damn it.
All right. So.
And I couldn't remember if I had said Dan Aykroyd or not. So.
We're going to total the scores. In the meantime, Rob, where can people find some more stuff about you?
I am on Twitter at Rob_Levy. I'm also on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. You also can go, I do a radio show on KDHX in St. Louis, so you can go to KDHX.org and find that. Also, needcoffee.com. Lee and I are both, and I think John, you too, are all sort of ingrained in the Need Coffee universe. So you can go there, needcoffee.com. And yeah, we'll just stop there.
All right.
And I will say the KDHX is a great show he does because I hear a lot of great new music and it really is a great show. It really is. I'm not joking. I listen every week.
Really?
Yes.
But it's after your bedtime.
Well, no, I listen. You guys tape it. I can listen later. It is after my bedtime. That is true.
All right. So the final scores, because I know everyone's anxious about this. Lee, you had 13. And Rob, you had 16.
All right.
Way to go, Rob. That's pretty good.
All right. Well, thank you again, Rob, for joining us. I hope that everyone found this informational. I know that I did. And
I hope I didn't screw that up too much.
No. You did great. Nobody fell asleep and you talked in complete sentences.
And I do want to say, no matter who you are or what you think you know or don't know, always, by any means, feel free to sign up for a panel for whatever track you want to do, because it really is something that will help you as a human being, sort of in so many ways.
Right.
So just don't be afraid to be on a panel.
So we should also point out, probably at this point, it's too late to sign up for most panels because, you know, we're so close to DragonCon. But watch your the Facebook groups of the tracks you're fans of, because typically the directors will send out, you know, requests for panelists. So that's the great time to do that. But anyway, until next time, for Rob and Lee, this is John saying peace.
Bye.
Thanks.
Thanks.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 813-3210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter @TheUniqueGeek. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons Share Alike non-commercial license.